Good afternoon, 4:30 and 67 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Davidson.
Here with strictly straight line winds. There's several trees down along the roadway coming to it. Fire department actually had to cut their way in.
Rowan County Emergency Management Director Ronnie Day says there's been property and other local damage because of today's storm.
Cleanup work is continuing all over Kentucky after the Commonwealth was pummeled by heavy rains and strong winds.
And former Governor Steve Beshear is back in the spotlight because of the national health care debate.
In sports, the Moorhead State women's basketball team is taking on EKU in the opening round of the OVC tournament.
But Luke has the stocks.
Cloudy and colder tonight, lows dropping to about 35 degrees. The complete forecast after this news.
While there were no injuries, severe thunderstorms producing straight-line winds did some damage around Rowan County earlier today. Ronnie Day is the county's emergency management director. He says most of the damage took place near Lower Oak Grove Road. That's in the Elliottville area.
We've had multiple trees down different locations. Way up on Lower Oak Grove Road, we've got a trailer that's flipped over on its side, unoccupied. And then we've got a house right down the road from it that the roof is partially taken off of it. And then out the road, maybe a couple miles or so, there's been a barn blow down and another barn with a roof that's been taken off of it.
Day says an electrical transformer was also blown down near the Dogwood Estates subdivision off Kentucky 801. It sparked a gas meter that was close by, triggering a house fire. Crews from the Moorhead, Elliottville, and Farmers Fire Departments were all called out to help with various situations today.
Estill County officials say as many as 15 homes may have been destroyed by today's storm. An Irvine man told WLEX four structures on Cantrell Street sustained severe damage.
The damage is really bad. It took a house right off foundation, and the house just clustered together. It looked like it just twisted all up together in one big messed up ball.
Estill's emergency management director, Ronnie Riddell, is appealing to people to stay away from damaged areas. He spoke with WKYT.
We ask for the people's help out there. Stay away from down power lines, please. If you don't need to be in an area that's damaged, stay away, please.
Authorities say it's more difficult to clean up debris and restore power in neighborhoods where people have congregated.
Kentucky State Police say more than a dozen mobile homes were thrown off their foundations in Madison County. Trooper Robert Purdy is with the KSP.
Several trailers were blown over. We're still assessing the damage. I don't believe we've had any injuries reported there at that scene. We're just trying to follow up with everybody.
The Madison Sheriff's Office says heavy damage has been reported in the eastern part of the county.
Lewis County Judge Executive Todd Ruckel has declared a state of emergency for his county because of severe flooding. Several families with children had to be rescued from their homes in the Vanceburg area. Austin Applegate tells WSAZ he participated in one of them.
As I was getting the other child out, I looked over my left shoulder and seen a giant wall of white water.
Other Huntington media are reporting that Ashland Central Park was evacuated because of falling trees, and the roof was ripped off Joann Fabrics at the Town Center Mall. At least one street in Ironton has been closed because so many power poles are on the ground there. Many homes and businesses are without electricity, and efforts are underway to restore service. Kentucky Power says it has more than 200 crews and contractors working on the problem. The Rowan County Public Library will close today, Wednesday, March 1st, at 6 p.m. due to a power outage. They plan to reopen on Thursday, March 2nd, at 9 a.m.
Storm damage has been widespread across Kentucky, including the state prison in Eddyville. Wade White is judge executive in Lyon County.
We understand it. There was some rooftop damage there, tore a roof off one of the buildings there. None of the areas where inmates would be. We've got a lot of rooftops that come off in different areas.
White says trees and power lines are also down in the western part of the Commonwealth.
Moorhead's fire chief says spending $1 million on a new ladder truck can easily be justified. Jeff Anderson says the vehicle is critical in fire suppression efforts at area schools, hospitals, and factories. He points out that the MFD's current ladder truck saved lives and millions of dollars in damage at the Guardian plant only a couple of years ago. He admits while it would be costly for the city to replace the ladder truck, there's money available that could be used to help pay for it.
Several of our engines are paid off now. I think the only one I like a payment on, the 2009 engine, will be paid off in about next year, I believe. Station 2 is due to be paid off this year. So we've paid off a lot on our capital end at fire department side. So I'd hopefully maybe they'll look at taking some of that money and making a payment, refinancing a ladder truck maybe.
Anderson notes that Moorhead's current ladder truck is 35 years old and constantly needs repair, and it's getting harder to find parts for it. The chief notes that grant requests sent to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to fund a new ladder truck were rejected in each of the last 3 years.
The House Health and Welfare Committee has endorsed a bill that sets up a four-person panel to review the merits of lawsuits against doctors and other medical providers in the Commonwealth prior to the cases being heard in court. The measure, sponsored by Republican Senator Ralph Alvarado, is backed by the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce. Dave Atkison is the chamber's chief executive officer.
One of the misconceptions about this bill is that it's primarily for healthcare providers. Well, obviously, it would have an impact on healthcare providers, from nursing homes to hospitals to doctors to midwives, you name it, nurse practitioners, all of those. But the broader business community is at a disadvantage in this state because of our legal liability climate.
Republican State Representative Chad McCoy of Bardstown voted against the bill. He says medical panels aren't very effective for limiting liability suits, and states that don't have them see fewer claims being filed.
Delaware doesn't have medical review panels. Delaware has the Affidavit of Merit. We are doing something that is antiquated, something that has been Tennessee, our neighbor of the South, did this and did away with it because it didn't work. We're holding on to something that doesn't work. We ought to do meaningful tort reform. This is not meaningful tort reform, so I vote no.
Senator Alvarado's bill calls for establishment of a panel composed of three healthcare providers and a non-voting attorney. The findings of those panels would not prevent lawsuits from being filed, but they would be entered into the record prior to trial.
In the Democratic response to the president's address to Congress last night, former Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear criticized the Trump administration's approach to health care reform. Beshear says Republicans planning to repeal Obamacare are not taking into consideration how it would financially affect those who rely on it.
You promised to be a champion for families struggling to make ends meet, and I hope you live up to that promise. But one of your very first executive orders makes it harder for those families to even afford a mortgage.
Beshear says those arguing for the removal of the Affordable Care Act are operating under the notion that some people don't deserve health care. He notes more than 20 million Americans have health insurance currently that they did not have before Obamacare.
Kentucky motorists would be required to carry $25,000 in liability insurance coverage for each of their vehicles, under a bill approved today by the House Banking and Insurance Committee. The legislation is sponsored by State Senator Rick Girdler of Pulaski County. The Republican lawmaker says the current limit is $10,000 and hasn't been changed for decades. He says the expanded coverage would cost an additional $4 to $5 a year.
So it's not a bill that's going to break the bank or hurt the people that doesn't have insurance or would be on a teeter-tottering whether to buy insurance or not.
Girdler says the average price of a new car today is $33,000, and $10,000 in liability coverage is just not adequate.
State Senator Damon Thayer says Kentucky's public colleges and universities should get used to performance-based funding because taxpayers are demanding a better return on their investment in higher education. The Georgetown Republican discussed the issue on KET's Kentucky Tonight. Some smaller schools, like Moorhead State, have expressed concerns about parts of the formula for awarding money based on credit hours and degree attainment because they serve a lot of non-traditional students, students who have to attend part-time and may need more remediation. Thayer acknowledges those reservations but is not swayed by them.
I understand that, but Morehead's just going to have to get better. I mean, that's what the taxpayers expect when they send $1 billion to fund public education, that they're going to have a certain level of degree attainment, that they're going to have a certain level of jobs for the highly desirable STEM marketplace.
Thayer also says all Kentucky's universities' presidents agreed to performance-based funding when state lawmakers approved the budget last year.
Dr. J. Morgan will be the center of attention at some open forums on the Morehead State University campus Monday. Morgan is the lone finalist to become MSU's next president. He'll be at Button Auditorium from 8 to 9 a.m. to meet with staff members, from 2 to 3 with the school students, and from 3:15 to 4:15 to talk with faculty. Currently, the chief academic officer and vice president for academic affairs at the Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education, Morgan looks forward to visiting the MSU campus, a place he's been to several times before, to work with university officials on various initiatives.
We're excited about coming. My wife is a Kentuckian. I'm a Kentuckian. So we feel very, very good in this and look forward to meeting a lot of the folks in the community. We probably know more folks on campus than we do in the community, but nevertheless, I look forward to meeting and getting to know some of them.
Morgan is also a former provost at Murray State University. Morehead State's Board of Regents wants to name a replacement for retiring President Wayne Andrews before the end of the month.
The Daily Independent says the Greenup County Fiscal Court is ready to sign an agreement with a local industrial in regards to its financing. Here is Logan Pemberton with the story.
Judge Executive Bobby Carpenter says that Greenup's commissioners have agreed to sign off on the deal, which states that the county must turn over the tax revenue that it receives from the East Park Industrial Park to pay for the facility's expenses. The agreement will cost the county an estimated $15,000 a year. The fiscal court will finalize the five-year agreement later this month. East Park has been struggling financially. Boyd, Elliott, Carter, and Lawrence County have all been asked to follow Greenup's lead in the matter. According to East Park Administrative Agent Tom Saylor, Boyd is the only county thus far to say yes to the idea. The Lawrence County Fiscal Court is asking for more details on the initiative, while Carter County is yet to discuss the issue. Saylor plans to propose the plan to Elliott County's Fiscal Court at its next meeting. For MSPR News, I'm Logan Pemberton.
A mining company is planning to reopen an eastern Kentucky coal mine within the next week and hire 60 workers. WYMT-TV reports that Kingdom Resources plans to take over operations at one of the old Enterprise mines in Knott County. Kingdom Resources CEO Mark Wilson says the mine will be known as Kingdom Coal. Knott County Judge Executive Zach Weinberg says he was told the company plans to hire 60 workers within the next 2 weeks. It is unclear how long the mine has been closed. Kingdom Resources is based in Texas.
One of Kentucky's largest domestic violence and outreach facilities will host its 6th annual Cornerstone Awards ceremony on March 23rd. Safe Harbor in Ashland will also kick off its 1,000 Men and Women fundraising campaign at the luncheon at the Bellefonte Country Club. The Cornerstone Awards will go to those individuals who have contributed to helping Safe Harbor grow its services over the last 35 years. Spokeswoman Jennifer Allen notes the agency's fund drive helps it assist domestic violence victims in Boyd, Greenup, Elliott, and Lawrence counties.
It encourages the supporters to make an ongoing financial pledge to Safe Harbor to assist with our programs and development. Now, Safe Harbor exists solely on donations and grants.
This event will be open to the public. Tickets are being sold for $35. You can also sponsor a table for $500, $750, or $1,000. Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, cloudy, lows around 35 degrees. Thursday, partly cloudy with highs around 49. Thursday night, cloudy skies with lows around 31. Friday, cloudy with a high of 41 degrees and a 20% chance of rain. Friday night, cloudy, lows at 24 degrees. Saturday, cloudy, high at 54. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with lows around 34 degrees. Temperatures for the listening area, it's currently 67 degrees in Ashland, 63 in Flemingsburg. Inez is sitting at 65 degrees. It is 63 degrees in Lexington, 65 in Winchester, and it is currently 67 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's great to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, Ohio's agriculture community has partnered with several relief organizations to fight hunger in the state. Mary Sherman reports.
Anti-hunger groups and farmers are joining forces to call for a comprehensive approach to fighting hunger in Ohio. At the State House on Thursday, over 200 food bank partners, farmers, and legislators gathered to discuss the scope of hunger and what could be done to better support the state's relief network. Chad Burma of Burma Farms in Huron County was there. His operation participates in the Ohio Agricultural Clearance Program, which helps farmers distribute surplus product to local food banks. He says many folks just don't realize the need.
I'm seeing people that I've known all my life, and they're there getting vegetables, things that I take for granted. I see them there, and they're getting food because they need it. It breaks your heart in a sense, but it also is very satisfying to think that you can help out in that particular way.
Currently, the Ohio Agricultural Clearance Program and the state's other anti-hunger programs are run separately with limited flexibility. The Ohio Association of Food Banks is asking state leaders to unify the programs under one $30 million request in the biennial budget. The association says it would streamline operations, reduce costs, and improve the state's hunger response. Burma says investments in hunger relief programs do more than just address food insecurity. He explains there are ripple effects throughout the economy.
I'm using boxes that are bought locally, truck drivers paying fuel taxes. These workers are getting extra money. You know what they're going to do with it? They got to go to town. They're going to buy groceries. They're going to buy gasoline. They're going to buy whatever they need. So much of this money is going right back into the Ohio economy.
Governor Kasich's proposed budget included no increased investment for hunger programs. But with 1 in 6 Ohioans facing food insecurity, anti-hunger advocates say funding for food banks and programs that help the state's most vulnerable should be a priority. This is Mary Sherman, Ohio News Connection.
4:47, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR is provided by Downtown Morehead Incorporated, presenting the 12th Annual Morehead Antique Market Saturday and Sunday, March 4th and 5th at the Morehead Conference Center. Antiques, collectibles, heirlooms, glassware, jewelry, and more. Presented by Downtown Morehead Incorporated, the 12th Annual Morehead Antique Market at the Morehead Conference Center. Saturday, March 4th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, March 5th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. More information on Facebook under Downtown Morehead.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Two contests tonight at Morehead's Johnson Arena mark the opening of the boys' 16th region basketball tournament. In the 6:30 affair, Boyd County faces Russell. While calling the Red Devils scary, Boyd coach Randy Anderson remains confident in his 25-6 Lions.
I really like our guys. I think they play extremely hard. I think they understand big games. It's good to have five seniors. And so, one at a time. You probably heard everybody say that today. And I think our guys have heard it enough that they understand, you know.
In the second matchup, Elliott County meets Fleming County. The Lions will be starting their hunt for their third straight regional title, but Coach Greg Atkins says the Lions' resume won't win them anything in 2017.
What you've done in the past, it's not a predictor of the future. You got to go out and make your own destiny. But this group's hungry. We got some fresh guys that played different roles last year that stepped into bigger roles this season. They're hungry. They want to make their own mark.
There's more first-round action tomorrow night as Greenup takes on West Carter and Round County plays Ashland Blazer. According to one official, the contract for Round girls basketball coach Elaine Douglas is not being renewed because the Lady Vikings weren't showing enough improvement in their fundamentals this season. Ray Ginter is the school's principal.
We had to take that into consideration when we made the choice. It's not that, it doesn't have anything to do with wins and losses, but it has everything to do with progression. That's when the kids didn't improve from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, it threw up a red flag for us.
Douglas was 46-41 in three seasons at Round, including a 10-20 mark this year. Ginter says the school hopes to name her replacement in the next couple of weeks. The Morehead State women's basketball team is currently playing its first-round game in the OVC tournament down in Nashville. Currently, MSU is losing to Eastern Kentucky 40-25 just before halftime. Miranda Crockett leads all MSU scorers with 5 points. The winner of today's game moves on to face either Tennessee Tech or SIU Edwardsville. Meanwhile, two MSU women have been named All-OVC. Senior guard Brianna McQueen is a first-team pick, while sophomore guard Miranda Crockett is a second-teamer. The Morehead State men's basketball team starts action in its OVC tournament Thursday night in Nashville's Municipal Auditorium. 14 and 15 MSU will meet the winners of tonight's Murray State-Tennessee Tech contest. Senior guard Ronnie Beeman says the key to tournament success for the Eagles is simple.
The major key will be discipline and just sticking to the script. I think when we stay to the script and stay doing, everybody knows the job, everybody knows what they're supposed to do. I think when we stick to that, I think we're a very successful team. I think that's what makes us, you know, so unique.
MSU beat Murray State in overtime 101-100 during the regular season at Johnson Arena and split its regular season series with Tennessee Tech. The Eagles will have two players on this year's All-OVC squad. Senior guard Xavier Moon is a first-team selection, while senior forward Juwan Marrero is on the second team. Number 8 Louisville will visit Wake Forest tonight in ACC action. The Cardinals will be coming off of an 88-68 win over Syracuse on Sunday. Coach Rick Pitino is happy with how his 23-6 team is playing, but says they need to be more consistent in their rebounding.
The problem with us, we haven't had consistency on the backboard from the same players, but the good thing is you got enough players that you can substitute and find out who's the guy going to get the job done.
Wake Forest has a record of 16-12. Tomorrow's game tips off at 9 p.m. The Kentucky basketball team moved to 25-5 on the year after its come-from-behind win over Vanderbilt last night. Down 19 points in the first half, the Cats were able to earn a 73-67 victory. It's the third straight game UK has gotten down big early, something head coach John Calipari attributes to effort.
We weren't desperate enough to start the game, and even if when we subbed the seniors, we just weren't desperate enough. But I keep telling them, I'm not responsible for your effort, your energy, your fight. You are. I mean, if you're going to win in March, that's what you have to play like 40 minutes, what you saw out there in the second half. That's who you got to be or you're not winning.
The win locked up the one seed for Kentucky in next week's SEC tournament. They take on Texas A&M on Saturday. Some notes from around the NBA. Warriors forward Kevin Durant will miss at least 4 weeks after being diagnosed with a sprained MCL and a bone bruise on his left leg. The Warriors announced that Durant is out indefinitely and will be reevaluated after that month. And Philadelphia 76ers center Joel Embiid will miss the remainder of the season after a follow-up MRI revealed that the meniscus tear in his left knee appears more pronounced, the team announced today. And finally, in sports, the Morehead State baseball team is in Louisville battling with the 6th-ranked Cardinals. MSU head coach Mike McGuire says his team is focusing on themselves and not the opponent.
We got to play well. That's the important thing. We can't worry too much about who's in the other dugout. We know the challenges that Louisville presents in terms of the depth and quality of arms they have and then the pressure they put on you to control the running game. But we got to fill the strike zone up and play defense and not get free bases. And if we do that, you know, we're going to be in a position to compete and have a chance to win.
At last check, the Eagles are up 1-0 in the third inning on the Cardinals. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle baseball and softball single game and season tickets are now available. Baseball will host Bowling Green for 3 games this weekend. Softball's home schedule begins March 8th, hosting Tennessee State. Tickets and more information from the MSU Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. It was a record-setting day on Wall Street as U.S. equities surged to all-time highs and the major indices post their best day of the year, and this on the back of President Donald Trump's speech to Congress. And at the close, the Dow Industrials showed a very strong gain of 303.31 at 21,115.55. The S&P 500 was up 32.31 at 2395.95. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 78.59 at 5904.03. And, of course, these are record closing highs for all three of the major indices. Trump's speech, which was delivered last night, was widely praised for its positive tone but lacked specifics about tax reform and deregulation, two key components of the market's post-election rally. In economic news today, personal income rose 0.4% in January, topping expectations, while consumer spending slowed. However, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index jumped 1.9% for the 12 months through January, putting inflation very close to the Fed's target of 2%. Among S&P sectors, financials rose 2.8% to lead all advancers. And, of course, bank stocks have been a key to the rally since the election, and this was certainly the case today. In other economic news, construction spending fell 1% for the month of January, well below expectations, but the February ISM Manufacturing Index rose to 57.7, and this expanded on January's 56 reading. The Fed's Beige Book was released, and it showed that U.S. businesses remain generally optimistic, but less so than the previous report. Market expectations for a Fed rate hike have now almost doubled as far as the March meeting is concerned, and now, according to the CME Group's Fed Watch tool, most market makers think the chance is about 70% that the Fed will raise rates a quarter of a percent in the month of March. And, of course, U.S. Treasury yields reflected this anticipation with the two-year note yield hitting its highest level since 2009, and the benchmark 10-year note yield jumped to 2.46%. In corporate news, investors awaited social media firm Snap Inc. to price at the New York Stock Exchange Wednesday night before its Thursday IPO, and Snap was set to price its initial public offering at $17 a share, sources told major media outlets last night. And in the commodities markets, oil was up 1.4% and gold was up 0.1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were J.P. Morgan and American Express. The worst performers were Walmart and Intel. And in the S&P 500, the best performers were Lowe's and Mylan. And the worst performers were Indo International and Best Buy. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.89 at $122.55, CSX up 65 cents at $49.21, AK Steel up 40 cents at $8.73, Marathon Petroleum up $1.38 at $50.98, AEP was down 85 cents at $66.12, and Kroger was up 24 cents to finish at $32.04. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Moorhead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Moorhead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Moorhead State University and Moorhead State Public Radio.
Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, cloudy skies with lows around 35 degrees. Thursday, partly cloudy with highs around 49. Thursday night, cloudy, temperatures dropping to 31 degrees. Friday, cloudy, highs only reaching into the lower 40s, 20% chance of rain. Friday night will be cloudy with lows plummeting into the mid-20s. Saturday, temperatures are warming up, highs in the mid-50s with cloudy skies. Saturday night, partly cloudy with lows around 34. Sunday, mostly cloudy with highs around 60 degrees. And Sunday night, mostly cloudy with lows around 47 degrees. Taking a look at your temperatures for the MSPR region, it's currently 67 degrees in Ashland. Flemingsburg is sitting at 63. It's a 65 degrees in Inez. 63 in Lexington. Winchester is sitting at 65 degrees, and it is currently 67 degrees right here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Jacob Lindberg, Kenzie Thompson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Tilden Johnson, and Logan Pemberton. From the Ohio News Connection, Mary Sherman. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Davidson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.